I'd like for you to turn to Isaiah 55, and we'll go ahead and put it on the screen, Mark. We're going to, Mark's not there. Ivan, Mark, Ivan, one of you guys. Go ahead and put it on the screen. We're going to read verses 8 through 13, and then we're going to come back to 8 and walk through these verses with some study time. 8 through 13. Are we there? This is the Lord speaking. Everybody say, the Lord speaking. And he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 10, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, they water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be, we're in verse 11 now, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void or empty, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Verse 12, for you, we talked about thoughts, we talked about, you know, the rain, talking about the word of the Lord. Now in number 12, he says, for you, that's us, for you shall go out with joy, and you shall be led out with peace. Now we're talking about the mountains. And the mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And in verse 13, he says, instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree. And instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Everybody said amen. I've been on this particular passage of Scripture for about 6 weeks. I have taught and preached for it several times, from it several times. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we were in Safford, preached in Safford, a church up there, and I taught on this in Safford. I just finished writing the next month's newsletter, and I mentioned this in the newsletter. God is speaking to me from this passage. And every time I think about moving to another passage for my study and meditation, I hear the Holy Spirit saying, I'm not through speaking to you yet through this one. And so I go back to it and I start feeding on it. And so I have no idea how long this will last. This could be the last time you hear this for a while, or you may hear it another dozen times. It's not up to me. And I don't like the word struggle. I contend with myself and contend with my thoughts. I contend with the thoughts of other people. Because I realize through time and experience that our thoughts are way too negative, and our thoughts do not include the power of God to change things by His Word. And it is my endeavor this morning to try to glean a little bit more revelation, if you can, towards grasping the facts that God's Word is going to do what God said His Word would do. That God's word is going to accomplish what God sent it out to do. And no matter what we think, it's still going to happen His way. One of the things that we as Christians have faced most of our Christian life is that we think the world's going to hell in a handbasket. After all, the devil is the prince of the power of the air. And by those incomplete thoughts, we get this negative concept of God in some kind of a failure mode in the end result. It's like God just can't handle that. It's too big. It's like the devil's taken over. The Antichrist has taken over. The earth's going to burn. And I guess God's just going to throw up his arms and say, I just failed completely. None of us get that far along, right? That God has failed completely. But somewhere in there, before I said that, you found something that you have thought. Because we have not grasped the revelation as we should, that God's word in its God power, in its God force, in its God purpose is going to do what God has intended for it to do all along. And I just long for that revelation to grip me, that truth to grip me, so that all negative thoughts will be outside of my thinking. And I will begin to visualize God's word fulfilling and accomplishing and doing and recreating. Now put back on the screen verses 8 and we'll do 8 and 9. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. Man tends to, even Christians, you know, we're not perfect yet in our thought life. The word is still watching my thoughts. How about you? But mankind, the human race, in our thought life and our thought process, we think mostly out of a fear-based life all around us. Everything around you is fear-based. A lot of the good sermons that we hear are fear-based. And so man's thoughts tend to be fear-based. Oh my God, what are we going to do? Have you seen what terrible things are happening? Have you read those passages in the Bible where, you know, all this judgment and all this fire and this? Oh, what are we going to do? That's a fear-based thought pattern. God's thoughts are higher than that. He does not think a fear-based thought. He thinks everything based on faith, hope, and love. All of God's thoughts are rooted in faith, hope, and love. All of God's projection of thought is faith, hope, and love. All of God's end result is faith, hope, and love. That's how he thinks. He doesn't think fear, he thinks hope. Doesn't think fear, he thinks faith. Amen. Now you take faith, hope, and love and put them in a togetherness, put them in a combination, and you know they begin to look like, what does faith, hope, and love look like? It begins to look like things like redemption. Faith, hope, and love look like restoration. Faith, hope, and, are you ready? Faith, hope, and love look like new creation. And many can say, I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm a new creature in Christ. Everybody knows, you know, 1 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is what? He has become a new creation. You see, faith, hope, and love produce or equal new creation. God has started us in the new creation process with our born-again experience. And our born-again experience, which brings us to being new creatures in Christ, is going to take us into a place in the future, into a place in the heavenlies, where all is newly created. Believe it or not, God is going to recreate all things. He's going to renew all things. One day you will not be able to find evil. One day you'll not be able to find the influences of Satan, because they'll all be burning in the bottomless pit. But all that is good and all is wonderful and all that is created by God, even though at this point it is somewhat diluted and ugly and dirtied and corrupted, but it's all going to be cleansed and recreation will take its place. And our recreated spirits are going to be very much a part of the government of that recreation. It's like as God says, I'm going to recreate creation, he started with your spirit. He started with your spirit. He started with your spirit. And when you gave your life to Jesus and you turned your life over to Jesus, you become a new creature in Christ. And now you're beyond the human race. You're in a higher realm than a human race. You are now, as a new creation in Christ, you are now a superhuman. We used to have a little thing in Mexico, in Agua Prieta, and we were part of the church there. And we had this little drama we were doing. This kid was a El hombre más fuerte en todo el mundo. The man, the strongest man in the world. Well, you know, he was, and we called him Super Cristiano. Super Christian. That's what you are when you become a new creature in Christ. You're a super Christian. You're a superhuman. And you're going to fit in real well to the new creation of the future. You're going to fit in real well. You're going to be familiar with the new creation of the earth and all the universe. When the Lord is finished with this thing, and when his word has accomplished what it is going out to accomplish, when his word has fulfilled and accomplished what he pleases, you're going to feel so at home in that new creation place because you already are one. Now, I'm going to read a passage from 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to read 15 verses because this shows something that we sometimes are afraid of, and it shows us what God is not afraid of. This shows us some of the aspects of our fear-based theology, if we haven't already grown past that. You know, some have. But baby Christians and the world in general have this fear-based theology, and they get it from scriptures like this. But God doesn't think like that, and he doesn't want us thinking like that. Did you find 2 Peter? Did I say 2 Peter? 2 Peter 3. We're not finding it yet. There it is. Okay, we're going to read. Maybe I should go there instead of turning around and reading the back. Those eyes on the back of my head get tired. 2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to read the first 15 verses. Are you ready? Peter writing, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminders, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord, our Lord, the Lord and Savior." Number 3, "Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust." Verse 4, "They are saying, where is the promise of his coming?" And then they go on to say, "For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." In other words, the scoffers are saying nothing's changed. What makes you think it's going to change now? Number 5, "For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth, standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water." Bible scholars know that story. In verse 5, we see that they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth was of old. By the word of God. Remember in our text in Isaiah 55:11, "My word shall go forth and accomplish." Remember that? See, God's word, the accomplishments of earth, the accomplishments of creation, the accomplishments of the whole universe are a result of the word of God. Now, let's go to verse number 7. "But the heavens," evidently there's more than one, "but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word," what preserves us? "Preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition or destruction of ungodly men." Okay, this word perdition here in the New King James also means destruction. You can read that last portion, "reserved for fire until the day of judgment and the destruction of" who? Christian men, righteous men, holy men. How about the women? No, the judgment and the destruction come upon ungodly. Rule number 1 in getting free from a fear-based theology is to realize you're not ungodly and you're not going to burn. I mean, go back to the 3 Hebrew children and, you know, Nebuchadnezzar's day. They were fireproof by obeying God, weren't they? If he can make people fireproof 4,000 years ago, it's sure no problem for him to make people fireproof in the new creation generation. Number 8. "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day." Now, a lot of people play with that and they create literal, using it in a literal sense and come up with fantastic data. But I believe when it gets right down to what it's really trying to say and its message, I believe the message out of verse 8 is a simple one. It says, your time and God's time is different. Your thoughts and his thoughts are different. Your ways and his ways are different. Your timing and his timing different. I believe that's the main message he's trying to get across. Now, verse number 9 actually connects back to verse 4, where the ungodly, the scoffers, were saying, everything's, you know, the same. Everything's the same. Where's the promise of his coming? Where's the promise of his coming? Well, verse 9 has something to say about his promise. It said, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is the Lord is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know why it hadn't burned yet? People are still coming to repentance. Now, we don't have this to put on the screen, but I'm going to take you to a familiar passage of Scripture, John 3:17. Everybody knows John 3:16. "For God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son." Amen. Well, the verse after that is amazing. John 3:17 says, "God did not send his son." How many know the word is his son? His son is the word. Back to our text, Isaiah 55:11. God sent his word to accomplish, right? Okay. In verse 17 of 3 John, he says, "God did not send his son," or the word, "into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him," through the son, through the word, "might be saved." In my non-professional 2 bits, you can take my opinion and and a nickel, and it might still buy you a lollipop. I'm not sure. You may need a quarter. But it is my opinion, my conviction, I should say. I'll move it up a notch. You know, opinion's one thing. Conviction is quite another. It is my conviction that as long as Jesus says, I'm getting somebody saved, the Father's going to hold off the fire. Because Jesus is the Word, and He was sent to accomplish the purpose of the Father. And the purpose of the Father is that everybody that can be saved will be saved. And as long as somebody's getting saved, the fire has to wait. I just believe that with all my heart. Now, you can look at the evil of the world. You can look at the evil of the things that have happened in the church. You can look at what's happening now. And you might think, well, you know, all of this sin justifies some judgment from God. Yep, it do. But God's holding off as long as somebody's getting saved. That's more important to Him than cleaning things up. The most important thing for God is for His Word to finish its accomplishment. It is important to God to bring judgment. It's important to God to cleanse the earth of all sin. These are very important aspects. But number one importance to God, number one with God is getting people saved. Where am I? Verse 10. Are we on verse 10? Our screen lost it. It's not as smart. We thought this was a smart TV, but it's not. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, and both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Now, if you're a good Bible scholar and you study out the wording on this back to the original languages, you'll find out that what's being burned up is the social structure of the world. The evil social structure where man has corrupted himself, his government, and his creation. That's going to burn. Number 11, therefore, since all these things, this social structure that's being burned, therefore, all these things will be dissolved, disappear. What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? On that great day, when the cleansing starts, you want to make sure you're on God's side. Can you burn God? Can you burn God? Can the devil burn God? If you're in Him, are you part of His body today? You part of the body of Christ? That's a very important step in being in God. If you can't burn God, you can't burn His body. Now, here's where God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We're going to go to verse number 12. In verse number 11, if we're an immature Christian or a person of the world, our knees start trembling. Oh my God, I hope I'm okay. If you really believe verse 11, you're searching your heart. Am I all right, Lord? Am I going to be okay here? But verse number 12 separates your thoughts in verse 11 over to God's thoughts in verse 12. Because Peter, by the Holy Spirit, speaking God's thoughts, says in verse 12, we're looking for and hastening the coming of the day. Oh, preacher, who in his right mind would, you know, want to see everything burn? Well, I'm not in my right mind. I'm in the mind of Christ. And I, you know, by God's grace and little doing of my own, I'm far enough along to be like Peter, and I'm looking forward and hastening to the day. I'm looking forward to that day because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Number 13, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, there's that word again. Remember, God's not slack concerning His promise. Remember the scoffer that said, where's His promise? Number 13 says, according to His promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Because I am a new creation creature, because my spirit is born again, there's something on the inside of me that is very anxious for the day. Something on the inside of me is hastening towards the day. I'm excited about the day when it's all cleaned up. And my new creation spirit feels at home in a new creation earth and a new creation heaven. Lord, give us a glimpse of the new creation future that lays before us. And give us a revelation, a knowing that our new creation spirit is drawing us towards that new creation future and everything's cool. The ungodly say, oh, it's getting hot. And the godly say, it's cool to me. Woo! Do you have 2 Corinthians 5:17 on that lineup? You do or don't? Well, we'll just go somewhere else. Okay, here's what we in our immaturity, we think, oh, you know, man would say, oh no, what are we going to do? Oh no, what if I burn? Oh no, I need an escape. Oh no. You know what God's saying? He's saying, chill out, I've got this. He's saying, chill out. My word's on this. He said, just be cool. My word is accomplishing what it's supposed to accomplish. And if you're in my word, you'll be part of the accomplishment. Ooh. Do you that are born again, you that know you have a new creation spirit, is this a better life than the old life of sin? Is it better? Better? You that have participated in the old life of sin, can you by experience say the new creation life is better than the old life? Well, I have news for you. The new creation of our future is going to be better than the present or the past. And a lot of people, in their immaturity, they think, well, you know, I'll be with the Lord and, you know, I'll be okay. And they're thinking physically. Just chew on that. Verse 10. We're going to go into a different, another new wonderful direction on this revelation thing here, out of this passage. Verse 10. What I need to do is stop the Peter sequence and move to Isaiah. Can we do that? I'm running Ivan in circles over there. I gave him a paper that was what I thought first, and now this is what I'm thinking second. Let's go back to Isaiah 55 and look up verse 10. You know, if I would stay exactly with my notes, that would help Ivan a lot. Okay, well, here we are. We've caught up with ourselves now. We've caught up with my ever-changing brain. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, do not return there, but they water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Everybody been in a rainstorm? You've ever seen a rainstorm, experienced a rainstorm, snow. I know most of you desert rats have had very little experience with snow, but maybe a little, okay? What did the rain and the snow do after it touched earth, after it touched planet earth? What happened? It was transformed into something, seed and food. The rain is actually transformed. It doesn't stay rain and snow. It's actually transformed through process into seed and bread. We all know that the word is the seed and we are to sow the seed. We know from John chapter 6, 5 and 6, I believe it is, that Jesus is the bread that came down from heaven. And so this rain and this snow have now become Jesus and his word, bread and seed. We all love the rain and the snow for what it does to our natural planet, but the spiritual rain and the spiritual snow are also important because they become Jesus and his word to us. Number 11, so shall my word be. You could do it like it. Rain and snow come down and they're transformed into seed and bread, and my word's going to do something like that. Verse 11, so shall my word be. My word's going to do something like that. It's also going to be transformed. My word's going to go forth from my mouth and shall not return void or empty. This is so important, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall accomplish what I please. When you have a prayer request and you take it to the Lord, he can say to you, my word's on that. Lord, I'm needing an answer in this situation. This child, this teenager, this young adult, this grandpa is doing stupid things. Lord, I'm needing help here. He says, my word's on this. If you're in prayer, if you're in faith, you can count on the fact that the word of God is on it. And you can count on the fact that the word of God will accomplish what God sends it for. I know when you're downhearted, is that a good term? Downheartened, downhearted. When some kid falls into the cake and messes it all up. And if you haven't heard the story, you need to ask Nina about this later. They had a cake catastrophe yesterday before the shower, and it took a miracle to fix it. But anyway, this all worked out. But you know, there's a lot of things in this life that are worse than that. And we're praying about those things and those people. And God's saying, my word's on that. And you say, well, what? That's cool, Lord. I'm glad your word's on it, but what can I expect? He says, you can expect my word to fulfill and accomplish and please me. You can expect that my word will not fail. It'll keep going, keep doing, keep accomplishing until the job's done. I didn't look this up for reference, but we most of us know the scripture that he will finish the work he started in us. Look at someone sitting close to you and say, he's going to finish his work in you. He's going to finish the job. You know, when it's all said and done, God's not going to separate. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats, the godly from the ungodly, the believers from the unbelievers. But he's not going to take a group of believers and say, okay, now part of these made perfection and part of these didn't quite get it yet. You know, I've failed in them. My word hasn't accomplished what I thought it would in this group over here. We're going to let them into heaven by the skin of their teeth, but they have to live in a shack. No, God's word's going to finish its job, guys. Just get that one in your heart. God's word's going to finish its job, whether it's in your family or whether it's in the new creation process that we are in. The word's going to finish its job. Where am I? In the middle of verse 11. The word shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. We like the word prosperity, right? If you're having trouble with your finances, you need to tell your finances God's word's on this. And he's going to fix it. You can say, Lord, I don't know what to do about this. And he'll say, my word's on this. And you say, but Lord, what can I expect? He said, you can expect success. It shall prosper in the thing which I sent. Now in verse 12 and verse 11, we see some fruit of accomplishment. We see some result of accomplishment or God's word prospering. Would you like to know what the accomplishment of God's word looks like? Okay, we're going to see some of that right here in verse 12 and 13. Number 12, for you will be, you go out with joy. You will go out with joy. How many could use a little of that? As God accomplishes in you what he intends to accomplish, you will find joy in your life. If you don't find enough joy presently, you need to tell yourself, hang in there. God's word's not finished accomplishing in me yet, and the joy's on the way. You can count on it. 1 Peter 1:8. Can we do that verse? You have a way of going to 1 Peter 1:8. I think that was on the lineup. Peter here saying, whom have not seen you love? And he's talking about God in Jesus in the first verse prior to that. He's talking about we haven't seen God. But though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. This is the kind of joy that's going to be a result of God's word accomplishing things in you. Joy inexpressible and full of glory. How many could use some joy inexpressible and full of glory? I can't accomplish that for you. As sweet as your spouse is or your boyfriend or your girlfriend, as sweet as your lover is, you know, that lover boy just don't have enough. Only God can give you joy inexpressible. Only God can give you the joy that's unspeakable. Only God can give you joy that's full of his glory. But that is a result of God's word going forth and accomplishing. Aren't you glad he sent his word? Because not only has he sent his word to accomplish this new creation thing for our future, he sent his word to accomplish what we need today in this lifespan. He says, you'll be led out with peace. How many could use a little peace? I have seen times in my house when I could really use some peace. I've seen times in my family where we could really use some peace. I mean, you know, I've seen situations where, you know, my wife would be on a, you know how they get. I'd say, peace, honey, peace. And, you know, she throws a piece of a plate. It's not quite that bad. But if we need the peace of God, my friend, in Isaiah 9:6, that's one of Jesus' names. Look at Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born. Famous Christmas scripture here. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful and Counselor and Mighty God and Everlasting Father and what? Prince of Peace. Did you know the peace that comes from the Prince of Peace is a result of God's word accomplishing in you what needs to be done? And you shall break forth into singing. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. I could have chosen 100 scriptures on singing, but I chose Psalms 104:33. Singing is very important. The psalmist here says, I'll sing to the Lord as long as I live. How long is that? I'll sing praise to God while I have my being. In other words, from the cradle to the grave, I'm going to be singing. And your song of the Lord, the song that's in your heart, is there because God's word is accomplishing something in you. Do you ever just have one of those days where there's a song in your heart? That's because the word of God's accomplishing in you what needs to be done. That's where that song came from. Let's go on. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. That was a tough one to think about. I still don't have I don't have a satisfied verse for this, but I did go to Psalms 1, the first three verses, because it talks about a wonderful tree. Trees of the field clap their hands. Let's look at Psalms 1. Is that the first verse? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2, but his delight, the man's delight, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Verse 3, he should be like a tree. Now, there's a number of scriptures that talk about us as being trees of righteousness. is unto the Lord. He likens us unto trees in many ways. You have a family tree, by the way. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season. This tree whose leaf also will not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. I chose this verse because looking for so many verses for about trees, what tree in the Bible would be clapping its hands because of the accomplishment of the Word of God? I think this one is. Use your imagination with me. I think this tree, planted by the water, always being nourished by the water and its nutrients, this happy tree, everybody say happy tree. This happy tree, I believe, is one of the trees that claps its hands because God's Word has accomplished something in it. It's the best I can do for now. I'll give you more better later. Let's go to verse 13. Verse 13 took some study. I had to get my Bible dictionary, my Bible concordance, and about two or three other Bible helps. And I come up with some really cool stuff. You ready for something cool? Number 13, instead of the thorn will come up the cypress tree. What does that have to do with God's Word accomplishing anything in you and me? Well, first of all, which would you rather have? Thorns or cypress trees? Huh? What do you want in your life? Thorns or cypress trees? Well, the Word going forth out of God's mouth will accomplish cypress trees and do away with the thorns. I could get into that do away with the thorn part. But what about the cypress tree, Lord? Well, I looked it up and I started doing some research in the Bible dictionary. The cypress, I have two of them in front of my house. If you go to my house, I have two tall, slender trees, one on each side of my entry into the house, out by the first part of the sidewalk. And they're called Mediterranean cypress. And the ones I have are about a little over 20 foot tall and about this big around. And they're only 20 years old. Mediterranean cypress trees, even in our time, with all the pollution and the corruption in the world, even in our time, they can get 60 foot tall and be as big around as a Volkswagen. And they're perfectly straight. And they make excellent lumber for building. And most Bible scholars agree that these are the trees that were used, known in Noah's day, as gopher wood. And these were the trees that were used to make lumber for the ark because they were so straight and the wood so hard and durable, and they were made such perfect straight lumber at such tremendous length. And if they can grow to 60 feet in our corrupted day, they probably grew to 120 feet in Noah's day. And if you're making an ark as big as Noah's, you would appreciate a really good straight board or timber or pillar of tree 120 foot tall. Interesting, huh? I just eat this stuff up when I get into it. So that's not very spiritual. Well, it kind of is. Because it tells me that God's Word is going to accomplish in me something as strong and straight and buildable as the cypress tree. I could use that. How about you? Look at the next piece. Instead of the briar, that's another form of thorn or sticker, instead of the briar should come up the myrtle tree. Now here's a side note. Everybody say side note. Myrtle is the Hebrew name for Queen Esther. Now, it's obvious, you know, all due respect, if you have an Aunt Myrtle, we love her dearly. But for some reason, they call it the Book of Esther, not the Book of Myrtle. I'll let you have that, whatever you want to do with it. Has nothing to do with the sermon, okay? I think the best cook I've ever known in my life, name was Myrtle. She fed me all my life. Okay, where in the world am I? I lost myself. Instead of the briar, the thorn shall come up the myrtle tree. Well, the cypress tree is cool. What about the myrtle tree? The myrtle tree is an evergreen with dark, glossy leaves and white flowers. Does that sound like a pretty tree? Would you like to be a pretty tree when God's Word gets to accomplishing in you what needs to be done? Would you like to be a pretty tree with white flowers? And the flowers and the berries of the myrtle tree are used for perfume and food seasoning. How would you like for God's Word to accomplish in you what needs to be done to the point that you are used for perfume and food seasoning? Now, if you'll apply that spiritually, that's a cool thing. I mean, isn't that cool? God's work is accomplishing in you. We all know what you smell like now, but when God's finished with you, you're going to smell like perfume made out of the myrtle tree. Sabrina says, thank God. Are you ready for this? The myrtle tree and its flowers are very important and have great religious significance to the Hebrew race because it is their symbol of peace and joy. How would you like God's Word to accomplish in you what it needs to do and the end result be that you are full of peace and joy? We talked about peace and joy earlier, didn't we? Peace and joy. I tell you, there's a lot of benefits to being a Christian. There's a lot of benefits to being delivered from the powers of evil. But I believe one of the greatest benefits is for my soul to have peace and joy. I mean, my world can be falling apart all around me, but there's something on the inside full of peace and joy. I can even have turmoil on the inside, but there's also something on the inside, deeper in, that's full of peace and joy. And I just realize, you know, God's got this. It's going to work out. May hurt like the dickens today, but He's on this. He's going to make it work out. Last part of verse 13, he says, it shall be to the Lord for a name and an everlasting sign that shall never be cut off. When God's word gets through accomplishing in you and me and in the new creation of our future, when God's word gets through accomplishing what He intends to accomplish, the name of God is going to be glorified, and to the name of Jesus every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And this is going to be an everlasting sign that will never be cut off. The sign speaks to me as of the witness of what God has done in our life. Did you know that the miracles God did in your life last year will be praising God in the eons of time to come? There's a scripture for that. I didn't take time to look it up. Some of you know where it is. But Paul said, even in the ages to come, they're going to be talking about the glorious things that Jesus did. Even in the ages of time. Brother, in the eons of time, 10 billion years from now, we're going to remember something God did in 2011. Because the testimonies of the Lord are everlasting. And the testimonies of the Lord and the testimonies of His goodness are a result, a fruit, if you will, of His word that went forth from Him to accomplish in you what He pleases. Please stand to your feet. Woo! I tell you, folks, every time I open this Bible to the Isaiah 55, I just get something else. Just get something more. It's just beautiful. Everybody say, God's word will accomplish in me what He pleases. Now say this, I yield myself to that. I give my will to God's will. I give my will to be in agreement with His accomplishment. Whatever God wants, I want. His thoughts are higher. His ways are higher. I'm going to side with that. Please bow your eyes and close your head. I'll get it straight here in a minute. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I want to thank You, Lord, for encouraging us with Your word. I want to thank You, Lord, for encouraging us with the facts and for showing us that everything's going to be all right, that You're on this, that everything's going to be all right because Your plan is in action and Your plan cannot fail. I thank You, Lord, that You don't have to resort to plan B because You don't need one. That Your plan A is perfect from the beginning to the end. And Lord, it just never ceases to amaze me that You've included us in the plan. Lord, You have included us in Your plan. Not only is Your word going forth to accomplish what You please in the universe and in the new creation, but Your word is going forth to accomplish what You please in my life and in the lives of this people. And Lord, that's down where we live. That's where we are today. We need some things accomplished Your way today. Lord, we need some God accomplishment in our lives today. We really need that. And Lord, Your word gives us hope. Your word gives us hope because we realize more now after what we've heard today. We realize in a more sure sense that Your word is going to accomplish what You please. And Lord, we just want to give ourselves to that. You might be saying, well, in your heart, you might be saying your imagination and your thoughts, well, preacher, I don't feel like I'm enough of a Christian to hardly even accept any of that. I'm not enough of a Christian to know that I qualify for any of that. You may even be feeling like that you're still over in that fear realm where you're just afraid of what might happen in the future. Some of you are even afraid of what might happen in the present, and you're still operating with a fear-based life and a fear-based theology and a fear-based perspective. Well, I can help you with that. God's here to help you today with that. If the fear has been overcoming the hope of accomplishment, let me say that again, listen carefully. If fear has overcome your hope of accomplishment, God wants to fix it. And I want you to raise your hand so I can pray for you. Fear has overcome your hope of accomplishment. I would ask you to come up here where I can pray for you rather than me go back there by you. Everybody that you know, you've been dealing with this fear thing, and The fear seems to be bigger than your hope of accomplishment. Come up a little closer to me here, brother. Come up a little closer to me, will you? Jasmine, come help me. Come over here, honey. You're so pretty. I don't know how you got so pretty. You must take special vitamins. Jasmine, I want you to pray for her. Everybody that wants prayer, please come up closer. Please come up closer. I don't know that you're going to fall down. Sometimes people are what we call slain in the spirit. And if you were to go down, we don't want you to hit your head on the chair back there or something. We want you to be up close where it's not problematic for anyone to catch you or to help assist you in that. Don't feel like you have to fall down. Everybody doesn't fall down. That needs to be between you and God. For you that's up here, I want you to say these words. Say, I rebuke fear in Jesus' name. And say this, say, I embrace hope in Jesus' name. Say this, say, my hope in Jesus and what he will accomplish in me overcomes my fear. I declare it in Jesus' name. Fear of the future, fear of the present must go. The word is working on this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the word's on it. Like the preacher said earlier, God's saying, just chill out, I'm on this. Just chill out, I'm on this. I'm on this. You gave it to me, don't take it back. I'm on this. In Jesus' name, what we give to God in a way of request or something that's problematic, just let him keep it. Don't take it back. Whatever you give to the Lord, just say, Lord, I gave it to you. I don't want it back. Father, in Jesus' name, no more fear. No more fear of the present. No more fear. For you, it's no more fear of the past. Your hope for the future is secure because you trust the Lord. Your hope for the present is kind of on again, off again. But I see that you've got some fear based on the past. Brother, your past is forgiven. I can declare unto you by the word of God that your sins are forgiven, your past is forgiven. Brother, I declare this in Jesus' name. You're forgiven. Look me in the eye. I speak to you now in the name of Jesus. By his word. His word can't lie. And by his word, I can assure you, he has forgiven you. The past, if you try to remind God of the past, he's going to say, I don't remember. When he forgives, he forgets. He wants you to do the same thing. No more fear of the past. In Jesus' name, we rebuke that. We declare the fear of the past be gone from his mind, be gone from his imagination. In Jesus' name, he has a heart for the now and a heart for the future, and his heart is full of hope. And God will accomplish in him what pleases God. In Jesus' name, fear for your children. No, no, no. We rebuke that fear in Jesus' name. You gave your children to the Lord. You gave them to the Lord. You've done it many times. You've gave them to the Lord many times. Just let him keep them. He knows how to take care of those babies. He knows how to speak to them. He can speak to them words that you can't speak. He can speak to them messages that you could never bring across. Your children are going to do just fine. Their past is past. Their present is challenged. Their future is sure. As we walk in faith, keep believing. We don't give up. God don't give up. Baby's going to be okay. In Jesus' name. No more fear. No more fear. Fear, we rebuke you in Jesus' name. Fear of the future, we rebuke in Jesus' name. Lord, I just pray that you fill this man's heart with peace. Fill his mind with peace. The peace that passes all understanding. Fill him up, fill him up, fill him up with the joy of the Lord and the peace of the Lord. Peace and joy from the spirit to his soul, his very body pulsating with peace and joy in Jesus' name. Jesus, Lord, receive this one. Receive this child, Lord, receive this child. Lord, she's giving herself to you right now. Receive her, receive her, receive her plea, receive her humble heart, receive her, forgive her and receive her. In Jesus' name, the Lord says, my child, enter into my kingdom. You are forgiven. Enter into my kingdom. The blood of Christ has set you free. Enter into my kingdom. The blood of Jesus Christ has washed your sins away. Enter into my kingdom. You are the blessed of the Lord. Allow your heart to be repentive and receptive in Jesus' name. And he's going to fill your heart, fill your life with peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for blessing my brother. I thank you for his heart. Thank you for his heart to serve you, for his heart to serve mankind. I thank you, Lord, for his heart to help, his heart that says, I want to make a difference in this world for the good. Lord, I just pray that you guide him in his mind and in his heart guide him even in circumstances. Bring people across his path that will help him find exactly what he is to do with his life. Lord, show him how to be led by your Spirit. Show him how the Word of God by the Holy Spirit can be alive on the inside of him, guiding and guarding. Fill him, Lord, with your Spirit. Fill him with your Word. Fill him with your counsel, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Pray for them a little bit more. Everyone reach your hands up here, please, and just pray in the Spirit. If you want to pray but you don't really know what words to say, just say, Lord, bless them with guidance. Bless them with peace. Your prayers can be very simple but very effective. If we don't know the exact thing to pray or how to pray, we can pray, Lord, bless them with peace, bless them with joy, bless them with love, bless them with peace, with hope, bless them with faith, bless them, Lord, with goodness. It's good to just, you know, in prayer, send our blessing. Just send our blessing in Jesus' name. Add your blessing to the other blessings that are coming this way in Jesus' name. Good things, good things, good things. Listen to this song. Listen to these simple words. Everybody sing that with him.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God.
Sing it with us. Come on.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. 'Cause I'm a child of God.
Oh, yeah.
Longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. 'Cause I am your child of God. I am your child.
We are the blessed of the Lord. We are the blessed of the Lord because His Word is working in us. We are the blessed of the Lord because His Word will finish its job. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Please remember our service tonight at 5. If you can come at 5, it's many times we can't dictate to the Holy Spirit what to do. We don't try to do that. But many times we come with an expectation that the Holy Spirit will speak prophetically. And we have heard some amazing things in these little short intensive services on Sunday night. We've heard some amazing things. And again, 6:30, the Spanish service. A very precious time together with the Spanish congregation. Please invite people. Bring them along. Amen. We'll give about 50 people a hug and a kiss. And just let God keep on working.